All right, welcome back to the Everyday Conversion Podcast. I'm recording this on Monday. Happy Monday. If you're listening to this, if it's another day, happy whatever day it is. I've said this before, but I teach gospel doctrine in my ward. And one of the absolute things that I love the most about teaching gospel doctrine is the things that I learn. And everybody says that when they give a talk or whatever, like, I've learned more than you ever have, and this talk was for me. And I don't think I would go that far. I'm not going to say that the lesson was for me all the time. But what I will say is that I tend to learn as much while teaching the lesson as I did in preparing the lesson. Both from the comments of people in the class, and also just from the things that the Spirit prompts me and teaches me as I'm teaching. The things that I share, the things that I say while I'm teaching that I'd never thought of before, or the things that, the connections I make. You know, a lot of times for me, learning in the gospel isn't so much learning something new. It's rarely something, oh my gosh, I've never seen that before. As much as it's, oh my gosh, I've never connected these things before. I've never connected these two ideas or these two scriptures or, this thing that I learned a while ago with this thing I just learned now. And those are the things that are really neat. I feel like for me now, my learning in the gospel is really about connections. I think they talk about with like brain science, how one of the most important things and brain health is making new connections, like neuro connections. And I feel like, you know, in the gospel, it's similar. Like one of the most valuable things that we can do as far as our growth in the gospel isn't necessarily learning a brand new concept, but it's connecting the concepts we've already heard in new ways. So with that in mind, I wanted to just spend a moment sharing some of the things that came up during the lesson that I taught yesterday, and some of the things that I learned, some of the things that I shared that I hadn't thought of before, and maybe it'll be like you were hanging out in our class yesterday, and you know, maybe some of you were. I don't know who listens to the podcast, but maybe some of my class members did hear some of this yesterday. But I want to start off with one that was shared by a good friend of mine. Matt, if you're listening, thank you, sir. This was really impactful for me. We were talking through 2 Nephi 3 through 5, and really 1 through 5. We kind of jumped back and talked about some of that as well. And we were talking about the father's counsel and blessings that Lehi gave to each person. And that was kind of the way that I felt prompted to structure the lesson. As we went through and we looked at every single person and how Lehi spoke to them, every single person or group, because you had like the sons of Ishmael that were spoken to at the same time. Excuse me. At the same time as Laman, Lemuel, and Sam. But looking at each group and what they were taught, and what Lehi said to them, and why maybe he said those things to him. And as we were doing that, my friend Matt and I have known each other a long time. He's one of the people when I was in high school and I was investigating the church that was influential in my joining the church and being a fellowshipper for me as I joined the church and entered into the gospel culture. And now we're in the same word again, which is really fun. And it's really neat to have a friend like that in the word. But anyways, he raised his hand and he said, I want to make a comment. He said, there's this promise or this thing that Lehi says that, if they will keep the commandments, they'll prosper. But if they won't, they'll be cut off. And he goes, I always read that as either you'll prosper or you won't prosper. Like those are the two options. Either you keep the commandments and you prosper, or you don't keep the commandments and you don't prosper. He said, but that isn't what the Lord says. And I want to read to you in 2 Nephi 1. This is one of the places, I think Lehi says it two or three times. I think Nephi says it once or twice. But in 2 Nephi 1:20, it says, "And he hath said that," so the Lord, "and the Lord hath said that, inasmuch as ye shall keep my commandments, ye shall prosper. You shall prosper in the land, but inasmuch as ye will not keep my commandments, ye shall be cut off from my presence." And Matt said, "I realize that it's not prosper or don't prosper, it's prosper or be cut off." And he said, that's a very, very different promise. He said, you know, it doesn't mean, he said, this scripture doesn't mean necessarily that if you keep the commandments, you're going to be like rich and have all the things you want. He says, but it does mean that you'll prosper, you'll grow, you'll develop, you'll become more Christ-like, you'll become a happier person. And he says, but if you don't keep the commandments, you can still, he goes, I've known some terrible people that are prospering, quote unquote prospering. And I think he pointed out Bernie Madoff, you know, as one who was a terrible, terrible person, but also very financially successful. He said, but the promise on the other side is that you'll be cut off from his presence. You'll be cut off from the presence of God. So regardless of how successful you are in the world standards, you will be cut off from God. You will not progress spiritually. You will not receive, the blessings of the gospel. You'll not, be happy necessarily. We know from Alma that wickedness never was happiness, so you won't experience the true happiness of the gospel. And that was really, that was something that, it's one of those things that I think we all kind of knew. Like, if somebody says that to you, you're like, well, yeah, that makes sense. But I don't think I really knew it. I don't think I'd really recognize that until Matt shared that. And I was like, oh, that's so good. That's so good. And I was actually, there was another brother in the class that said, I just want to second what he said, because that's so true. So thank you, Matt. Thank you for sharing that. It really did impact me. It seems like once a week or once a class, there's one person that says something that I'm just like, oh my goodness, that was worth it. Like, that was worth the entire class. And it's usually not something I said. It's usually something somebody in the class said. So that was one of them that really came out yesterday. Another thing, another person in the class said, and emphasized this two or three times, we were talking about, you know, like, what was Lehi's desire? What did he really want? What was the thing that, since they left Jerusalem, this was the thing that was like heavy on his heart? And we talked about how it really was that he just wanted his entire family to live the gospel, to love God, to be united, and to love each other. Like, that's all it was, all the time. Like, that's what he wanted. That's why he kept, I don't want to say harping, but kept pleading with Laman and Lemuel to live the gospel for him. Because he wanted them all to be together. He wanted them to be happy. You know, in his dream, he wanted them to partake of the fruit. And one of the people in the class made the comment. He said he wanted them to live after the manner of happiness. And I love that phrase. I know it's, I believe it's in the Book of Mormon somewhere. But it was timely for me. It was timely for me to be reminded of that in the context of what we were studying. Just this idea that Lehi wanted them to live after the manner of happiness. That the joy comes from living after the manner of happiness. And that manner of happiness really is, you know, living the gospel, following Jesus Christ. And I think sometimes it's important for us to be reminded of that as we're studying the scriptures, as we're striving to live the gospel, that, you know, it's just anchoring the idea that the goal is, and the end product is, that we will be happy, that we will experience true joy. It's not that life's going to be easy. It's not that we're going to have everything that we want financially or materialistically, but we will be truly happy as we're living the gospel. And what a blessing that is, with everything going on in the world, all of the struggles and the trials of life. Like, the older I get, the more I realize, like, life's flipping hard. Like, there's a lot of hard things, whether it's, work stresses or family stresses or kid stresses or marital stresses or economic financial stresses or, economy and, social unrest and like all of these things. Like, life is hard. Depression, anxiety, other illnesses, other diseases, like all of these things are hard. And it doesn't mean that life's going to be easy, but we are living after the manner of happiness if we're living the gospel. And what a wonderful reminder and an important distinguishment to not forget as we're going through and as we're studying the gospel. Okay. So what else did we talk about? This is something that I can't take credit for. I heard this from Jared Halverson on the Unshaken Saints podcast first. But he pointed out, and I think he referenced somebody else too when he was talking about, but he pointed out that we have all of the words of Lehi to his children except Nephi's. And that Nephi didn't share his own blessing. He didn't share the things that his father told him. And Brother Halverson makes the comment that, perhaps it's because it was too painful. Because his blessing, and we have, hints of it, one of the parts of his blessing was that if Laman and Lemuel didn't keep the commandments, that Nephi would receive the first blessing, the father's blessing, the birthright blessing. And was it too painful for Nephi to identify that that's what he was told, because it essentially meant that he failed in fulfilling what his father wanted, which was to keep the family together? Now, I think one of the things that came up for us in our class that I don't remember Brother Halverson mentioning, and maybe he did, but one of the things that came up in our class was one of the members of my class said, yeah, but it wasn't his fault. Like, he's not to blame for that. And I would agree. And I think Nephi would agree intellectually. But I think he felt that weight. This was something from listening to Brother Halverson and also my own personal reading of it this time. Just looking at the words that Nephi uses in his psalm. And there is deep, deep pain in that. Awake my soul, no longer droop in sin. Some of the things that he says, and I don't have it in front of me. I can't pull it up right now, but the things that he says, there's a lot of weight on him, and he's feeling this weight. And one of the things that I noticed literally as I was teaching the lesson was that Nephi has always kind of taken a somewhat leadership role underneath his father, in counseling his brothers and in answering their questions and encouraging them to be righteous, and kind of taking that leadership role while they're traveling, whether it's to get their plates or to get wives or when they're hunting, like all these things, or building the boat. Like, he's taken these leadership roles underneath his father. But now that his father has passed away, it truly is his role. And just that weight, you hear of the, anytime an apostle's called, they just talk about how unworthy they feel, and how overwhelmed they are by the call, and how, for lack of a better word, how terrifying it is. And I can honestly tell you that I felt that when I was called as bishop. I was completely overwhelmed. Felt completely inadequate to be able to fulfill that responsibility. And so some of that comes through as we're reading and listening to Nephi. Is just this idea that he probably felt a little bit responsible for the family falling apart. Because really that's what happened. And that's one of the things that we really talked about and it came out in our lesson was, I think a lot of times when I've read 2 Nephi 2 and 2 Nephi 3, I've really focused on the doctrine. I'm like, okay, 2 Nephi 2, we're talking about agency and we're talking about choice We're talking about opposition in all things. And in 2 Nephi 3, okay, we're talking about Joseph in Egypt. And then we're talking about Moses and Joseph Smith and the restoration and learning those things intellectually. And those things are really, really important. I think it's also important, by the way, just as a side note, this is something we discussed, to ask, why did he share those things? Because he didn't share it because he was teaching a gospel discourse to, in general conference. He shared those things because they were things that he wanted Jacob and Joseph to know. And why did he share those things? And I think that's important. In my mind, as I was reading through him, the reason he shared with Jacob about agency and choice and really focused on the Savior was because Jacob had struggled and he'd had a lot of trials. And along those lines, another thing that came up during our lesson was there's one phrase. Let me see if I can find it real quick here. There's one phrase that he uses with Joseph. And it's in verse 2 of 2 Nephi 2. He says, "Jacob, my firstborn in the wilderness, thou hast known the greatness of God, and he shall consecrate thine afflictions for thy gain." And as I read that, as we read that, I was reminded of Elder Larry R. Lawrence, member of the 70, or used to be, I don't know if he's still a member of the 70, but he was at the time, came to our state conference. And during that state conference, I was bishop at the time, and my ward clerk was battling cancer. And by battling, he was about to lose the battle. He ended up passing away not many months after that. And it was kind of to the point where we knew that this was, probably going to go the way it went. And we were able to get him to meet with Elder Lawrence, him and his family. And Elder Lawrence gave him a blessing and visited with him and his family and talked with them. And one of the things he shared with them, and he ended up sending us, he spoke about it the next day in the state conference, which was really cool. But he also sent the state president a talk that he had given prior about compensatory blessings. And just the idea that when something really difficult, and I would say anything really, but when something difficult is what he was talking about, happens, there are compensatory blessings, blessings that compensate for what happened to you from Father in Heaven, which makes total sense that Heavenly Father would have compassion on you when you're experiencing something difficult and would provide compensatory blessings, provide blessings to compensate for those things. And that's really what Lehi seems to be talking to Joseph about. He talks about all the struggles that he's had. In verse 1, he says, "Thou art my firstborn in the days of my tribulation in the wilderness. In thy childhood thou hast suffered afflictions and much sorrow because of the rudeness of thy brethren. Nevertheless, thou hast known the greatness of God, and he shall consecrate thine afflictions for thy gain." So telling him, hey, these things are tough, but they will benefit you. Like, these experiences are going to be a blessing to you. Do I wish they had happened? Absolutely not. Do I wish you had had such trials? No, I don't. But because you have, you will be blessed. And, it's those compensatory blessings. So, it's almost like Lehi is talking to Jacob and saying, look, all of these terrible things have happened to you. I mean, we have Nephi when they were on the ship. Nephi points out that Jacob and Joseph were greatly troubled and grieved because of the things that Laman and Lemuel were doing, because it was affecting their parents and they were very young. So they had experienced a lot of difficulties in their life. And it's almost like Lehi's talking about Savior. He's saying, "You're okay, Jacob. These things have been tough. Yes, there needs to be opposition. There is opposition. But the Messiah cometh in the fullness of time to redeem men from the fall." So it's like, don't forget that everything that happens, the Savior is taking care of it. The Savior is taking care of you. He's here for you. And so I think when you think about why he must have shared these things with his sons, they take on a new meaning. They take on a new dimension. It's not just a gospel discussion. This is like a father sharing the most important things for this child, for this person. based on what he knows of them and based on his love as a father. Same thing with Joseph. Joseph's told about Joseph in Egypt. He's told about Moses. He's told about the future, about Joseph Smith and the restoration of the gospel. And this certainly seems to be one of Lehi's favorite prophecies, because Nephi mentions that he found it when he was searching the brass plates when they first got them. And now he's literally quoting almost word for word the entire complete version of Genesis 50, which we have as Joseph Smith translation, Genesis 50. I think it's like 24 through 38, which, by the way, if you have not read that whole thing, highly recommend it. It's very, very similar to 2 Nephi 3, but it's really cool to read it because it's promises that Jacob's, or that things that Joseph's sharing firsthand, you know, rather than Lehi saying, and Joseph said that he saw, it's Joseph saying it and explaining what he saw. So why did Lehi share this with his son, Joseph? I think he wanted him to understand the great role that he, as a descendant of Joseph, was to play in the gathering of Israel and the important part that he and his family had. And he wanted him to remember his heritage and be connected to that. Because remember, Jacob and Joseph were born in the wilderness. They didn't live in Jerusalem. They didn't experience Jerusalem. They didn't see the temple. They didn't have all of those experiences that their older brothers did and their parents did. So it's like Lehi's trying to keep him connected to his heritage and to not lose that as they're in this new world. So I don't remember. Oh yeah. We were talking about the fact that Nephi didn't get his and the pain that he felt from that, perhaps. So that's one of the things that came up, but also just that conversation of why he spoke to each of his children the way that he did. The other thing that really came up, and I'd never put this together again until I was teaching the lesson, which, man, I gotta tell you, I'm the most blessed person in the church to be able to teach this class, just so you know. And if you're in my ward, no, you can't have it. I'm not giving up this calling. I told them a while ago that I'd teach it for the next 16 years. I don't care. I absolutely love it. It's the best. Anyways, another thing that came up was, you know, you have Lehi, who literally was the person that kept this family together. And some of you may have experienced this. I know I certainly have, where there's a single person that keeps your family together. And when that person is gone, the family falls apart. And Lehi seems to be that person for this family. He seems to be the person that kept everybody together. He was the person, you know, for a lack of a better word, that was the one that made sure everybody got together on 4th of July and Thanksgiving and all of these things, made sure that we had family outings. Like, he was the one that was the bond with his family. As long as he was there, Laman and Lemuel, while not being completely, I guess, obedient, not being the types of men that he would want them to be, there was a level of respect for him, it seems. A level of respect that led to them not completely deciding, I'm done. They could never just say, I'm done, while Lehi was there. But the minute he was gone, they said he was done. They were done. I mean, you look at it, it's painful. But you get Nephi in one verse saying that Nephi or Lehi died, and in the very next verse saying that Laman and Lemuel are angry. So verse 12, came to pass that after my father Lehi had spoken unto all his household, according to the feelings of his heart and the spirit of the Lord which was in him, he waxed old. And it came to pass that he died and was buried. And it came to pass that not many days after his death, Laman and Lemuel and the sons of Ishmael were angry with me because of the admonitions of the Lord. So in the very, very next verse, okay, my dad died, and now Laman and Lemuel are angry with me. And in the very next chapter is when Nephi realizes they're trying to kill him and he must leave. And so Lehi's that person that holds it together. And the minute he's gone, everything falls apart. And here's the thing that I'd never thought of. And I don't know why I'd never thought of it. I mean, because I've had experiences like this. One of the things that we don't recognize is one, Lehi's the one that keeps his family together. But two, it's also important to recognize that they're all grieving. I mean, if you've ever experienced serious grief, and I say if because I had not until my mom passed away. I didn't know what it felt like, but I have now. And the roller coaster of emotions, the depression that you feel at times, then that can swing to like irrational anger at other times. I think it's important for us to realize and remember and notice and recognize, did I use enough words there, that not only are Laman and Lemuel already kind of predisposed to not wanting to be told what to do and not wanting to fully live the gospel and not wanting their younger brother to rule over them, but now they're having to deal with that while also dealing with probably debilitating grief. You know, I remember after my mom passed away, there was times that I was like irrationally angry and I didn't even know why. Like I couldn't even pinpoint what I was angry about. I was just angry. And if you think about, you know, Laman and Lemuel, we don't hear about Sarai at all. So I assume that she has passed away as well. So now both parents are gone. Lehi was certainly somebody that Laman and Lemuel, while not always respecting him and listening to him, they had a respect for him and they honored him. Now they're dealing with that grief and having to battle that grief while also dealing with all the other issues. And that's something I learned as well, is like every other issue comes to the forefront when you're dealing with grief. And so I think that's an important thing to remember too and to recognize is, you know, there's grief in the middle of this. You know, it's not just, oh, Lehi died. Like there's serious grief. There's serious pain occurring for Nephi, Sam, Laman, Lemuel, Joseph, Jacob. All of them are experiencing this pain of Lehi dying. And then there's this complete schism in the family. So those are some of the things that I learned during my class this last week, yesterday. So thank you for listening. Thank you for allowing me to share. And we'll be back and we'll continue on in the next episode. Have a great day.